Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is John. I'm one of the pastors here at Calvary, but normally my family and I are at the Boulder campus, but I love getting to visit our other campuses. Pastor Thomas is out teaching at the Thornton campus today, and so I'm delighted to be with you in Erie. There's so much that's happening at all of our campuses. I love seeing all the kids who are in this room. I love seeing all the people who are in this room. I love the way that God is just bringing more and more people here in Erie. He's doing the same thing in Thornton and in Boulder. It's awesome. And what we're trying to do together at each of our campuses is build Christ-centered communities of people fully devoted to loving God and loving others. We want people at each of our campuses at Calvary to find life in Jesus. That's why we're in the Gospel of John together, that you may have life. And this is the kind of life that we hope for, that we would be the kind of people who are fully devoted to loving God and loving others. And so we're just thrilled that there's more and more people who are coming to each of our campuses because we want people to hear about that kind of life that is found in Jesus. And so we're gonna turn back to the Gospel of John together. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me there to John chapter 8? While you're there, I'll tell you a quick story about just some of the growth that we're seeing at each of our campuses. We had membership class across our campuses over the last month, and I got to attend the membership class at the Thornton campus. We launched the Thornton campus about 5 years ago. We've seen God bring more and more new people there. And we had a membership class there just a month ago where there were 26 people at the Thornton membership class, which is amazing. And we're so grateful that God's bringing people, and the staff team out there, I'm so proud of them. They are doing a wonderful work. And Dakota Vaughn, who is the director of kids ministry in Thornton, that Sunday she said to me, "John, today was amazing. We had this amazing membership class and we had 55 kids in our kids ministry." The first Sunday, she said, when we launched the Thornton campus, we had 4 kids, and 2 of them were mine. That's awesome. And that's, we pray, the seeds of new life that will grow at the Thornton campus, at the Boulder campus, at the Erie campus. Okay, so you found your way to John chapter 8. If you've been with us in this series, particularly if you were with us last week, you know that we are in an important period of time in Jesus' ministry where he has gone up to the city of Jerusalem. And there's a big festival that's happening there, an annual celebration called the Feast of Tabernacles. This was a week-long commemoration and remembrance of the faithfulness of God to his people after he delivered them out of slavery and bondage in Egypt. And then this period of time where they wandered in the wilderness together and God was with them. And that's what's happening in the Feast of Tabernacles, is that the Jews have come to Jerusalem to remember God's faithfulness and all that he did in that period of time. And that is the context in which Jesus speaks one of the most amazing claims that he makes about himself. He uses a metaphor to describe himself. And it's particularly a powerful metaphor when we understand the context that he says it in, which is what we'll explore together today. But in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Friends, Jesus wants you to have life. Now, I want you to notice 2 words in this verse, and I want these words to be in your mind throughout our message today. Those 2 words are light and darkness. This is one of the great themes throughout the Gospel of John, the contrast between light and dark. There is a metaphor that Jesus uses here that describes our spiritual reality. We are in one of two places. We are in spiritual darkness, or we are in the light. So let's begin by talking about the light. When Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," it's not the first time that light is used in the scriptures. This is a common theme and metaphor throughout the Bible. In fact, on the opening pages of the scripture, in the first few verses, in the creation account in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, it says that God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. There's that contrast. God said, light was good. Now, prior to this, the Bible describes the earth without light as being formless and void, covered in darkness. And then God speaks, and there is light, and it was good. The first thing I want you to know about light in the scripture is that light gives life. We see this in the world around us. Things can't live without light. Crops, plants, animals, people. This is what makes Colorado the greatest state in America. We have more days of sunshine, supposedly. I don't know if that's true, but it sure feels like it, than anywhere else. And if you're like me, I was born and raised in Colorado. You know, if we have one cloudy day, I get a little depressed. And I need the sun to come out because we thrive in the light. Light gives life. It happens with plants that grow. I have been told by people who love me that I have an unhealthy obsession with my lawn. I don't know if anybody else feels similarly. I was particularly dissatisfied with it this summer, which, to be fair, is kind of an annual experience for me. But I looked at it and said, this looks terrible. I have to do something. So I bought a bag of grass seed. I spread that all around my lawn. And then I put down an illegal amount of fertilizer. And then I watered those seeds until our local reservoir ran dry. I regret nothing. You know, it doesn't matter how much fertilizer, how many gallons of water I put on those seeds. If the sun does not shine, the grass will not grow. Light gives life. And friends, Jesus offers you a kind of life that is unparalleled. Many of us spend our days trying to find meaning, purpose, life in lesser things. And I want you to know that Jesus gives life. He gives new life to any person who puts their faith and trust in him. You become a new creation, and your roots will grow deep in the fertile soil that he provides, and you will be able to withstand whatever comes in this world, because the light of Jesus will give you life unlike any other thing. If you've tried to find life in work, in success, in money, in relationships, and you just think there has to be more to this world because it doesn't satisfy. Yes, there is, and his name is Jesus. He gives us life. So light gives life. Throughout the scriptures, we see light do another thing. Look at Exodus chapter 3 with me. So in the context of the Feast of Tabernacles, I said that This is a commemoration and remembrance of God delivering his people from bondage out of Egypt. Prior to that, God met Moses, who would be the deliverer of God's people. He met him in a desert. And the way that God revealed himself to Moses was through a source of light. Exodus 3. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Moses looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. In our modern day, when we are surrounded by sources of light, screens, lamps. My goodness, I have a flashlight on my watch and my phone. I have light with me wherever I go. In the ancient world, it was not that way. What was the source of illumination in the ancient world? It was fire. Whether that's the big fireball in the sky or a fire at night, that was how light came into the darkness of the ancient world. And when God revealed himself to Moses, he did so in a flame of fire. Light gives life, and light reveals truth in the scripture. When God appears to Moses, he is making himself known in the world, and he is revealing who he is and what he is like. He is the kind of God that initiates a relationship with people who are in darkness and reveals himself and his character to them. As the story goes on and the people are delivered out of bondage and then are wandering in the wilderness, Moses would meet with God on Mount Sinai. And when God would be there, a cloud would cover the mountain. And what would happen? Lightning would come and flame would be there, and the people could see from the illumination over the mountain that God was present with Moses, and God would reveal truth to him. The Ten Commandments were given there, and Moses would come off the mountain and speak to the people about what God had revealed to him. Light reveals truth. And God has revealed himself to us. He is the truth. Think about how the psalmists use light as a metaphor. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Anybody remember the song? Sing it with me. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Light reveals truth. It shows us the way. We can't step forward confidently without the truth of God guiding us. We don't know how to follow him unless he reveals himself to us, which he has in his kindness. And without light to illuminate our way, to reveal the truth about our surroundings, we are lost in darkness. A couple years ago, I woke up in the middle of the night. It was dark. I didn't want to wake up my wife, Lindsay, so I left the lights off. And I didn't have a light for my feet. And my little baby pinky toe came into contact at a high rate of speed with the foot of my bed. I kept a very loud scream inside of me so as not to wake up Lindsay. I thought everything was okay, eventually went back to bed, woke up the next morning, took my first step, and nearly collapsed because I had broken my little baby pinky toe. Why? Because I was stumbling around in the darkness. Even in a place, admittedly, that I'm pretty familiar with, my own bedroom. And I couldn't find the way without light. We need God to reveal the truth about our reality to be able to know where to go and to not stumble around in darkness. There are so many voices in our world today that are making truth claims. Jesus will always tell you the truth. He will tell you the truth about God, about yourself, and about how you can be reconciled back to him. He will never lead you astray. He will never lie to you. He will always tell you the truth. And he tells us the truth through his word. He has given us everything we need to know about life and God and how to live a life that honors God. Light reveals truth. And in the midst of all the truth claims that happen in our world, Jesus is like the lens that we want to evaluate every truth claim we come into contact with and say, what does God's word say about this or that? Is that true? And you can have confidence that Jesus will tell you the truth. Light gives life. Light reveals truth. As the people of Israel were wandering through the wilderness, Exodus 13 tells us that the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. It led the people around as they wandered in the wilderness. It protected them. And then that pillar of fire would stop and the people would stop. And there where the pillar of fire was, they would erect a tabernacle, a temporary temple. And that's where Moses would go in to meet with God, and the presence of God was there. And Moses would atone for the sins of the people and would mediate between God and the people. Light brings salvation. The pillar of fire led them around and protected them, and the presence of God was with his people for that 40-year period. And where did it lead them? It led them out of the darkness of Egypt, bondage to sin, bondage there in slavery, which is a metaphor for sin. And that pillar of fire led them where? To the promised land, where they would dwell with God. And he would be their God, and they would be his people. Light brings salvation. The psalmist says in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" It's almost Christmas. This is a famous Christmas verse. I'm sure we'll hear it a number of times. Isaiah 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. And later the prophet says, "I will make you, the people of God, as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Light gives life. Light reveals truth. And light brings salvation. So for a first century Jew, the idea of light would have conjured up all of those ideas of life and truth and salvation. And it is with all of that background, in the middle of the Feast of the Tabernacles, where there were no airplanes at the time, as a part of the feast, the temple, which was on the Temple Mount, the high point of the city of Jerusalem, visible throughout the city, during the Feast of Tabernacles, they would light several giant candelabras, which would fill the temple with light. And in the darkness of the first century, you would see it up on the Temple Mount throughout the feast. And there's a great party and celebration, and music is happening for 7 days. And on the final night, the light of those candelabras would be extinguished, and there would be darkness in the temple. So with all of that swirling in the background, all of that imagery, and now darkness over the temple, Jesus stands in the temple court and says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Leslie Newbegin, a famous Christian missionary from the mid-1900s, says that this statement by the Lord Jesus is a claim of cosmic significance. It cannot be ignored. "I am the light of the world," Jesus says. Notice that he says, "I am the light of the world." If you've studied John's gospel before, you know that this is one of 7 times where Jesus makes an "I am" statement about himself. And in these moments, Jesus is taking the Old Testament divine name that God revealed to Moses in the burning bush, "I am who I am," and applying it to himself. This is an unambiguous claim of divinity by Jesus. By saying, "I am the light of the world," Jesus is making himself co-equal with God the Father. "I am the light of the world," he says. In the interchange that follows this verse, verses 13 through 30, Jesus uses the personal pronoun "I" something like 26 times, which when you think about the ministry and life of Jesus is kind of surprising. Jesus is the most humble, other-focused man who has ever lived. He would go out of his way to heal people, to meet their needs, to care for them. He would teach and minister and heal to the point of exhaustion because his heart was filled with love and compassion for people. We saw a few weeks ago in our study how the people are going to miss lunch, and Jesus has so much compassion on them that he feeds 5,000 people. The most other-focused, humble man who has ever lived says a lot about himself. And when a guy like that says things about himself, we should pay attention. And he says, "I am the light of the world." He also says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus does not say, "I am a light." Jesus does not say, "I am one of many lights that can help you find your way to God." No. Jesus says, "I am the one and only light of the world." There is no other name under heaven by which men and women may be saved than the name of Jesus. I am the light of the world. Again, in our modern day of ubiquitous air travel, where we can hop on a plane and be anywhere in the world within a couple days, I don't think we understand how outrageous of a statement it would be for a man in 32 AD in the city of Jerusalem to say, I am the light of the world. I mean, they had no idea that Erie, Colorado even existed. That's a ridiculous claim. Unless he's right. And he is the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I said there's a contrast between light and darkness. That's one of the great themes of the Gospel of John. And Jesus says, whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And again, the contrast that John is painting here and that Jesus is saying in his statement is the difference between a life in the light, where life and truth and salvation are found, and life that is in the darkness. Now, those verses 13 through 30, I wish we had more time to walk through them, but you can read them this week. But I want to point you to one verse in particular, verse 24. There is this exchange where the Pharisees are upset by Jesus' claim. You can understand why. And they ask him all sorts of questions, and they're either mocking him, or they don't understand what he's saying, or they're trying to bait him into saying something. There's this whole discussion back and forth about who Jesus is, about who his father is, about why he's making this claim. And Jesus says to them, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So with those two words in your mind and the contrast between light and darkness, I just want you to notice three words that are here in this verse. Death, belief, and sin. Here is the contrast between a spiritual life in the light and a spiritual life in the darkness. Light gives life. Darkness leads to death. Spiritual death. That's what Jesus is saying. If you do not believe in me, you will die in your sins because the default state of every human being is to be in the dark spiritually. And until we step into the light, our destiny is death. Light gives life. Darkness leads to death. Now, the second contrast is that light reveals truth. Notice that Jesus says, unless you believe in me. The Pharisees were unbelieving about Jesus. They had to believe the truth claim that he makes about himself. Light reveals truth. Darkness obscures it. We do not see the truth when we are in darkness. And we need light to help us. And finally, light brings salvation. But darkness keeps us in bondage. Bondage to sin. That is the contrast here that Jesus is painting for us. And the spiritual reality for each and every person who has ever lived and will ever live is that we are in one of two places spiritually. We are, in the words of Jesus, in the light, or we are in the dark. And friends, Jesus calls us to step out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's no alternative between light and darkness. And Jesus loves you, and he wants you to step into his light. He gives new life, he reveals truth, and he brings salvation. Let me illustrate it this way. This is a true story. Last week at the Boulder campus, Perry Marshall, our campus pastor, was preaching. And 10 minutes into his sermon, the power went out. And it was out at the Boulder campus for the next 45 minutes. Which you can imagine makes it a little difficult to have a normal church service Sunday. Perry did such a great job. I was so proud of him. He acknowledged what was happening. And then he took a few steps off the platform to get closer to the audience. And then he projected his voice, because there's no sound system when the power goes out. And then he took out his iPhone and turned on the little flashlight to light up his Bible, and he kept preaching. And he said he noticed in the audience that two things happened. Some people in the darkness fell asleep. Now that can happen when the lights are on. That may have been an experience for some of you this morning. But for those who did not doze off, Perry said, they were locked in. They were paying attention in a way that he had never experienced before in the quiet darkness of that room. Now, I don't want to insinuate that anyone who has ever fallen asleep during a sermon is not a Christian. But think about that picture. Some people are so comfortable in the darkness that it lulls them to sleep. And they miss the spiritual realities that are before them. And others, when the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, they lean in and they pay attention and they say, that is what I need, Lord Jesus. I believe you are the light of the world. Friends, if you have never believed in the Lord Jesus as the light of the world, I would call you today to surrender to him. He loves you. He wants to give you new life. He wants to reveal truth to you. And he wants to bring you salvation that only he can bring. He is the light of the world. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are a God who reveals himself to us most beautifully through your Son, Jesus. We thank you, God, that in him we find life and truth and salvation. And I pray for any friend who feels like they're stumbling around in the darkness of this world and is looking for something greater, that they would turn to Jesus today by the power of your Holy Spirit. We bless you, God, for the chance to be together, to open your word, and to be reminded of who your son Jesus is, the light of the world. To him be praise and glory. Amen.